Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masechet Arachim, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, about to begin our study of the eighth and penultimate chapter of Masechet Arachim. This is again a very short chapter, and we'll do it over the course of a couple of podcasts. Makdish Tzadir B'Shah She'in HaYovel. If somebody is Makdish the field in a period in which Yovel is no longer in effect, and we'll see all of those details in the last parak, Omer Lo P'tachat HaRishon, they give the owner the first rights of refusal to redeem the field. Shabalim notnim chomesh, because they have to add a chomesh. V'chol adam ein notnim chomesh. Nobody else pays a chomesh. There's a story about a fellow who had such a terrible field, he was Makdish's field. Amrulo p'tachat harishon, they gave him the first rights of refusal. Amar yalai shali b'isar. He said, I will pay an isar. An isar is 8 prutot. He said even less, said I'll pay one egg for it. And Rabbi Yossi's reason for saying that is, you could even use goods and not just kesef. And the Gizbar said, it's yours, if nobody else wants the field for anything. In some of CD service, they'll find out. He lost one isar and got his whole field back. In other words, whatever he bids, that's the best that they can get. And he gets first rights. Now, Makdish Sadeh B'Shah, Omrin? Wait a second, since when do we just say you go first? V'Hatanya Kofin, we have a brayta that says we force him to be the, get involved in the auction. So the answer, my Omrin, Nami Kofin. Omrin here doesn't just mean we say it gently, but it means we force him. V'Hatem Mikar Omrin, Tzai V'lo Kofin. Or could be the Kofin is a second stage if he doesn't listen to us, but first we say it nicely. Alright, Shabalim no nim chomesh. Now, my ear is Shabalim no nim chomesh. Why give the reason that the Baalim give a chomesh? Typically, the Aida Chaviva lay a tofik parikle. Why don't we use the reason that since he loves the field, it's his own field, he will give more and redeem it. He'll probably put more into it. The other thing is, there's a mitzvah for the master himself, the owner himself, to redeem it. The answer is Chada v'od kamar. They're giving both reasons. Chada, the Aida Chaviva lay a tofik parikle. That's first. V'yod mitzvat gula badonhi. Good, the two reasons we added. V'yod, and the third reason that we mentioned in the Mishnah, shmolim notnim chomesh. All are good reasons why he goes first. Now, ma'aseh b'chadshik tzadeo, salim v'hakim v'palki. Maybe Rabbi Yossi and Chachamim disagree in saying that the smallest amount was an isar or an egg. As Rabbi Yossi savar min shalik hesef kechesef, v'mon asavi shalik hesef eno kechesef. And here we would ascribe to Rabbanon a very strange position, saying that goods don't count and you need actual silver. The whole world agrees that goods are equal to money, are valid as money. So that can't be it. As I mentioned to you, an isar is 8 prutot. So therefore, if you redeem something at an isar and add a fifth, a chomesh, which is really a fourth, you're going to add two more prutot. But an egg is worth next to nothing. So the question is, can you redeem when the chomesh itself won't be a shavapruta? Tanakama sarah isar deika b'chumsho shavapruta v'ard parkinan. An isar is pretty much the smallest coin you could use. The smallest coin that'll have a chomesh of a pruta. You know, sarah kibet saram parkinan. You could use an egg because we don't care if the chomesh is a tiny little nothing. Okay, amar lo yaticham samav sidi sar sadeu fanav stamak rabbanan. So the end of the Mishnah, of course, followed the Rabbanan, because it used the word isar and not beitzah. Okay. Amar chad harei shali be'eser slaim, v'chad omer be'esrim, v'chad omer be'shloshim, v'chad omer be'avim, v'chad omer be'chamishim. So there's five guys. Let's say the owner's not a player here. And each one of them outbids by 10. So one guy says, I'll pay 10 for it. And let's say the field's only worth 5. The other guy says, 20, 30, 40, 50. Right? And then, chazar bo shachamishim. Let's say the 50 guy said, nah, forget it, I'm not going to pay. They take a pledge from his property up to 10 shekel worth, meaning the differential between what the guy before him was going to pay and his newer bid. If the 40 guy backs off, we go back 10. Same thing with 30. That sounds like Avram and Stom. And then, let's say the fifth guy who would the first bid, who had said, I'll pay 10, he backed off. They sell it just at its rate. Nifraim shel eser tamotar, and they take from the guy who committed to 10 whatever the difference between the 10 and what they got. If they got 6, so they take 4 from him. Now habalim mashkin means we seize property, and then he has to pay it off. Let's say the owner is part of this, and the owner says, I'll pay 20, and somebody else says 20. Habalim kodmim. So the owner comes first, because they're going to really pay 25. Amar echad harei shali be'esrim. Habalim not nim esrim eshesh. If the guy says, harei shali be'esrim v'achad, and let's say this, he said, I'm going to pay 20. And then the outside guy says, I'll pay 21. Then the owners have to pay 26. The owners are still first because what happens is they're 20 plus the 5 of the chomesh on their original 20 plus the 1 to outbid this guy means they'll have to pay 26. But notice, they don't pay a chomesh on the extra dinar. This keeps moving up. So if the owner said 20, and somebody says 21, 22, 23, 24, or even 25, the Baalim pay their 20 plus their 5 that was the Chomesh, plus the difference between their bid and the other guy's bid, so that if you say 20, you could end up paying 30. Because the other guy could bid as high as 25 and still force your hand because you were going to pay 25. And a Baalim not named Shloshim, and then you would have to still match his 5 raised. Because we do not add a Chomesh onto his up auction, up bid. Now, let's say you said 20, and this other guy comes along and says, I'll pay 26. If they want to pay 31, then Habalim Konmin, then they can pay. If not, then the other guy has it, because they can't make you go up. Your original bid was 20, which means plus the Chomesh should be 25. If this guy outbid you at his core base of 26, you do not have to beat him. He can have the field if you don't want it. Now, I'm Rav Chista. Lo Shanu Ela Sheben Arbaim Omeidin Komo. This down piece of 50 to 40 to 30, etc., we only say that the 50 guy gets 10 taken away from him, and that's the end of it, if the 40 guy stays put and commits. Let's say the 50 guy kicks out and the 40 guy kicks out. And Mishal Shin Menan, here's what they do. The 40 and 50 guy, the 50 guy has to pay 15 and the 40 guy pays 5. Meaning that the 50 guy has to pay the full 10 that he made Hekdesh lose by backing out of his up bid. And the 40 and the 50 guy have to split the extra 10 from 30 to 40 that they made them lose. Now, but our Mishnah says, if the 50 guy backs off, we take 10. And the 40 guy backs off, we take 10 from him. Amai, the 10 bar chamashin ba day. The 50 guy should join the 40 guy and each give 5, or be have 5 taken from them. The answer is, the leka ben chamashim. So the Mishnah is really segmented, meaning that case where if the 40 guy backs off is talking about where there was no 50 guy. The 40 guy was the top guy. And they're going to do that through the Mishnah. Chazar bo shel ben shloshim mashkin rechasav ad eser. Same thing with if the 30 guy backs off, we take 10. Amai ten devan arbaim ba'adeh, the 40 guy should join him. Like him on arbaim, there's no 40 guy. Chazar bo ben esrim mashkin rechasav ad eser. Amai ten ben shloshim ba'adeh, and the answer to like ben shloshim, which means each case is segmented. If the 50 guy backs off, he pays 10. They seize 10, and the 40 guy buys the field. If the 40 guy backs off, let's talk about a case where he's the top guy, and he backs off, he has to pay 10, and the 30 guy buys the field, etc. But the last case will be hard. Yachi emasefa hazar bo shel eser. We said if the 10 guy backs off, that if the 10 guy backs off, we sell it whatever we can get, and he has to pay the difference. So late of the ben asrim day, why doesn't the 20 guy join him again? You think there is no 20 guy there? Then the language of the Mishnah is not good. It shouldn't say we take from the 10 guy. It should be we take from him because there's only one guy. So it's very hard to say it that way. Well, Amar Rav Chista answered as follows: Lo kasha, my rule that said that they have to split it evenly what they cost the Hekdesh is bevat achat, meaning if they all backed off at once, one guy said 10, one guy said 20, one guy said 30, one guy said 40, one guy said 50, and then they all said forget about it, we found outside the field, we don't want it, or they just changed their mind, then the 50 guy is going to end up having to pay 15 along with the 40 guy, and then he's going to have to pay another 3 and a third, and so will the 40 guy along with the 30 guy, etc. Kan mezachar zeh, but if they peeled off the way that the simple read of the Mishnah is, the 50 guy backed off, then the 40 guy, etc. The 50 guy backed off, he has to pay 10, and then he's gone. The 40 guy backed off, he has to pay 10, then he's gone. Tan Nemiach, we have a braita that supports that. Chazu kulan kechad, if they all backed off at one shot, Mishal shin bedeim, they divided equally, meaning each part, as we said. But our Mishnah stands against that braita, because our Mishnah says you, each guy pays 10. It must be Rav Chista's solution, Shvamina, which is, if it's all at once, and that's why the braita says, Chazru bahen kulan ke'echad, then they divide it per Rav Chista's take. But if they peeled off one at a time, then they just pay the 10 and they're gone. Some people actually came to this the opposite way. They saw our Mishnah, they saw the bright, they saw a contradiction. And Rav Chista, according to this version, was just answering the contradiction. Okay, and then we said that the Baalim paying the extra chomesh is what gives them the uptick. Remember the chomesh atif? Or Mina, we have this challenge from a Mishnah and Maaser Sheni. Let's say you bring your Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and you're going to redeem it. Not to Yerushalayim, you're going to redeem it. Baal HaBayit or Rebbe Sela, Achad or Rebbe Sela Yisar. If the Baal HaBayit offers to buy these grapes for a Sela, and somebody else says, I'll pay a Sela and a little bit. Shal Sela Yisar Kodem, we give the other guy the rights to redeem the Maaser Sheni. And Shal Sifa LaKaren, because he's adding to the core worth of the grapes. And yet, even though the Baalim plus the Keren plus the Chomesh would be more than his, the answer is very simple. In our case, the Chomesh all goes to Hekdesh. So all we're concerned with is the net gain of Hekdesh, Chomesh Adif. But think about it. The Chomesh here is a gain for the Baal HaBayit, because whatever money he gets, he then takes that money and spends it in Yerushalayim. So then, Kana Tifruk Shapir, we prefer to have a bigger Karen, so that the fruit of Eretz Yisrael is redeemed at a higher rate. Chum Shalach Panan, we don't care about the Chomesh, just the owners have to pay it. Okay, Amar Achadar Eishali, if the guy said, the owner said 20, and this other guy said 26, then they said 20, and then the other guy said 25, so then Nonim Shloshim. The Baal HaBayit has to give 30. Why doesn't the owner just say that this guy is about to pay what I'm going to pay? I'm going to pay 20 plus 5 plus the other 5, that's 30. And he's offering, I'm paying 20 plus the 5 of my Chomesh, which is 25, and he's offered 25. So why do I have to buy it? Let him buy it. The answer, Baalim Dinar, because they add an extra Dinar. Falini Dinar, why don't you mention that Dinar? So Lo Dak, the Mishnah was not being exact. At the end of the Mishnah, they mentioned a dinar added in. Balim could mean. The answer is that the owners added one little pruta in, so their value is a tiny bit over with their chomesh what this guy offered. Velodak, and that the Mishnah didn't mention. Okay, so really, if it's exactly the same amount, the owners could say, let him pay. You don't have to add a chomesh to his upgrade, you only add a chomesh to your original bid. He says, this rule that you don't add chomesh to his upbid is only if the field was not assessed by 3. Meaning it was just an open auction. But let's say you had a Beit Din of 3, assessed the field, Mosifin, then you have to add chomesh onto whatever your bid is. So, Hechidami, what's the case for Beit Shammai? Says you have to add Chomesh on the upbid, and Beit Hillel says you don't. Ilo Nisham, if the field wasn't assessed by Talmud Beit Shammai, why would Beit Shammai say that? Elo Denisham, it must be that it was assessed. But Leimer of Chista, Amar Beit Shammai, so is of Chista following Beit Shammai? Hardly likely. So, Leo Lam Delo Nisham, must be an upright that it wasn't assessed. Beit Shammai Machmir, Beit Shammai simply have a stringent position, which is to say the Baal HaBayit always has to add Chomesh, even if it wasn't assessed, even if he's just doing it on the upgrade. The other way to interpret it is the Braita is talking about a case where it was assessed. The epuch, and the positions are reversed. Beit Shammai says you don't add. Beit Hillel says you do add, and Rav Chisda is following Beit Hillel, which is fine. The only problem is the famous canonical list of all the places where Beit Shammai is lenient, and this is missing. Le'olam de lo nisham. We have to go back to the original understanding, which is it was not assessed. Beit Shammai machmirin, and Beit Hillel says you don't have to. And then we would now assume that Beit Hillel's position would be if it was nisham, we would agree you have to pay an extra chomish even on the uptick. Now the last case, when the guy says I'll pay 26, and the balabayit now has a choice. So I mean, the reason that he doesn't have to is he could say this guy's willing to pay what I'm willing to pay, so he gets the, he can have it. I don't have to pay. What's that extra dinar thrown in the Mishnah? What it means is that if the owners originally said, I'm going to pay an amount that, including the chomesh, will be 31, then that's what they pay. If they said 21, and then this other guy bid up to 26, so then he'd have to go to 31, just take our chomesh and move it up one. So that's what that end of the Mishnah means, is that if the owner had originally bid an amount that would lead to 31 with the addition of the chomesh, then they get first crack. Otherwise, the other guy gets it. Okay, next Mishnah. You could declare cherem on your flock, your herd, your slaves, your servants who are knanim, on your steachuza. But if you're machrim everything you own, says, if you're machrim everything you own, it doesn't count. We'll see why. So Rabbi Azariah, the fabulously wealthy Rabbi Azariah, says, think about this. You can't give everything you own to God. Certainly you should be very careful about keeping an eye on your property when it comes to all of your dealings. That's a lesson in the halacha. Now, Manahani, really, how do I know you can't give everything away? First of all, how do I know that those are the things you may be machrim? Because the pasuk says, mikol asher lo, anything you have. V'lo kol asher lo. But mikol asher lo means you can give of what you have, but not everything you have. Me adam v'lo kol adam. Mi beima v'lo kol beima. Mi steachuza v'lo kol steachuza. Which means now, not only are you not allowed to be machrim all of your property, you can't even be machrim an entire species, like all of your servants or all of your animals. Maybe you're not allowed to, but if you did it, it would work, as we're going to see in the Tmura, which is coming up very soon, that you're not allowed to do it, but if you do it, it's valid. Therefore, the beginning of the pasuk is ach, which says that it cuts it and says, not only you may not do it, but it won't be effective. The variable is Eliezer. The same quote as the Mishnah. Now, utsricha. Why did the Braita have to list Adam and Beima and Steachuza separately? You got Rachmana Mikol Asher Lo. If the Torah only said Mikol Asher Lo, I would just think that means you can't get rid of everything you own and give it to God. But you can get rid of all your slaves or all of your animals. Rachmana Me Adam. Therefore, it says Me Adam Velo Kol Adam. If the Torah only said me'adam, it says you can't get rid of all your slaves, because you need people to help you around the field or your work, so there's sagula v'disturan. But you could get rid of all your fields and go be a sharecropper somewhere else. If I had fields and slaves and said I can't get rid of all of them to God, mishum nahacha chiyuta achiyuta, but they're both livelihood. But maybe I could get rid of all of them. So tzrichim, that's why I need all of them. So behema lamali. So now, why does the Torah say behema? So lachanatanya choyachim adam bno vito avdo v'shuchatu ayivrim. I might think that you could be machrim your Jewish slaves or your kids who stay miknato in a field you bought from someone else. Tamalova behema. Therefore, the Torah says behema because behema is the model. Ma behema yishto reshut lemachra. Of course, yishto reshut lemachra. Just like a behema is something that you have the rights to sell, and therefore you could be machrim. And therefore, the only things you have the rights to sell. Stay Mikana is only yours till Yovel. It's not really yours. You certainly can't sell your kids or your Hebrew slaves. So why can't you be Machrim, your underage daughter, who you could be Mocher, you could sell as an Amevriya? That's why Behema says, a Behema is something you could sell in perpetuity. And that's not true about your daughter, because even if you sold her now, which is certainly regarded as quite an ochen vey, nonetheless, at simonim she would go out. So where do Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, does he disagree with the Tanakhama instead of just presenting a lesson? The answer is he does disagree. You can't give more than one-fifth of your property to tzedakah. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the only requirement is that you leave something for yourself. You give 90% to tzedakah. But according to Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, he's going to adopt the more limited position, or the stronger position, which is to say, a fifth is your limit. There was a guy who wanted to give more than a fifth of his property away, and his colleagues didn't let him. Umano, Rabbi Yeshivav. Who was the colleague who didn't let him? Rabbi Yeshivav. According to the other version, Rabbi Yeshivav was the guy who wanted to give it away. Umano, Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was the colleague who kept him from doing that. Okay, we'll pause at this point and pick it up in the next podcast, which will be the final one in Perek Chet. Meantime, you should have a wonderful day.